WRKC is proud to present the third season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King's students. We now present our 23rd episode, Off the Leash.
I can't seem to find your account. What's your name again?
It's Flynn. Harry Flynn. That's with two N's and a Y.
Oh, there you are. With the balance so low, I skipped right over it. Would you like it in fives?
Tens is fine.
You know, this'll leave you with only $43.26 in your account, just so you know.
Yeah, $40 sounds about right.
$43.26.
Yeah, that's fine too. With a big pile of tens ripping open the stitches of my pocket, I got in my car and drove to the office. I let myself in and nearly tripped over the mail stacked just inside the door. Deborah!
Harry! Hold on, I'm on the phone.
Business?
Of course. So anyway, like I was saying, he never pays me on time, he comes in late, and he still owes...
Looking for a new job doesn't count as business.
I'm not looking for a job. I'm just talking to Jimmy.
You said it was business.
You said you'd pay me back my Acapulco money.
Deborah, I need to talk to you. Tell Jimmy you'll call him back when you're out of work.
All right. Jimmy, I'll call you back in 10 minutes. Okay, so talk.
I need you to take some time off.
But I can barely pay the bills as it is.
Hey, listen to me. I need you to take some time off because I've got some money here that needs to be turned into 2 tickets to Acapulco.
Oh, Harry, you shouldn't have.
No, I owe you that money square.
I was just saying that to be polite. You're damn right you owe me it.
And now we're even. Go on home and pack.
Thanks, Harry. Will you be okay here alone a week?
Yeah, what's the worst that can happen?
Just try not to burn down the place before I get back.
So long, Deborah. Tell Jimmy I say hi. She grabbed her things and headed out while I got myself a drink and put my feet up. I was getting near the end of my supply and money was short. But I still had to pick up a birthday present for a friend of mine, Officer Travis Spinelli. His birthday was a good week before, but I figured if I was paying debts anyway. Bills, magazine subscription? What's this? I had hoped you'd meet me this past Sunday, but once again you've disappointed me. I understand you're very busy, but I must insist that you will meet with me. So I won't ask you to meet me anymore. I'll force you to. Don't meet me at a specific time. Don't go to any specific place. Just go about your business. Huh. Of all the strangest things. After reading the note, I had a prickling feeling at my neck. I took my gun from my desk and called out, "Come in!"
Harry, I was just down the street. Are you ready to go?
My apprehension passed, but a different kind of tension took hold. Don't get me wrong, I'm always happy to see Marla Newman, a young PI who I sometimes go for drinks with. But, well, she's a pretty thing with a devil's smile and legs that can get a man in trouble. And it's been longer than I'd like to admit since I'd gone steady with anyone. Marla, good to see you. Have a drink?
Only if you'll put the gun away.
Oh, that? Just wanted to be sure it was a social call, not business.
Tax collectors banging at your door?
I wish. Say, thanks for agreeing to help me find something for Travis.
No problem. Just as long as you drive and tell him it's from me, too.
I still had some cash in pocket, so we got in the car and started looking for something Travis could use.
What about a tie?
A tie? I don't know. Seems strange buying another man's clothes.
Why's that?
I'm sure he knows what he wears better than I do.
He doesn't wear ties often anyway.
I'm sure he knows that.
Does he have any hobbies?
Well, he drinks with me sometimes.
Harry, drinking's not a hobby. Doesn't he play golf?
Why do you know Spinelli better than I do?
Oh, come on, Harry. He's got a trophy on his shelf and a couple of pictures of himself at a golf course on his desk. Did you really not notice?
I don't spend much time at the police station if I can avoid it.
Not that rare of a sentiment, I'm sure.
All right, a golf club it is. I picked out a club and drove Marla back to her apartment. We talked the way back, and the conversation was still going when we got there, so I walked her to the door.
So this was after she shot you?
Right in the stomach. I mean, it was a .22, but a bullet's a bullet.
Wow. Would you believe this is the first time my date has admitted to headbutting a woman?
Is this a date?
Depends. Will you headbutt me if I answer wrong?
I guess that depends on whether you've got a slug in your jacket.
No, I won't shoot you. This time.
Glad to hear it.
I might next time, though, if you don't take me someplace nicer than a store or Glenn's.
I thought you liked Glenn's.
I had a nice time, Harry. Maybe we can see a movie on Saturday.
I did too, and sure, Saturday sounds good.
Well, I should...
Yeah, I've got to...
Good night, Harry.
Good night, Marla. I made a mental note to ask around for a classy place to take a dame and took the quick drive over to Glenn's. After all, if I wasn't going to be taking Marla there anymore, I had to be sure to get some drinking done myself. The place was near enough to filled already, but I got myself a seat at the bar next to a couple who were going on about the city's finest.
You hear about it every day. Police brutality, judges getting kickbacks, and it's only getting worse. How's an honest citizen supposed to get his head above water?
It's not all bad, just a matter of perspective.
Oh yeah? Tell that to the parents of the kids who were tossed in jail to pay for the whole courthouse staff buying yachts.
You've got to learn how to use it. I haven't paid a speeding ticket in 4 months.
I wanted to tell them to shove off, but they were right. The force has some damn good men on it. Spinelli, Murphy... Well, Brody's okay. But the amount of bad seeds seem to be growing. I wanted to blame that on the new DA Murdoch, but for all his faults, he's on the right side.
Harry, what can I get for you?
Hey, Glenn, give me a brandy.
Coming right up. How's business?
Good enough I can keep coming by. Why do you ask?
I need to reupholster a couple of benches and wanted to be sure that my income wasn't going to take a drop.
Why do you have to go changing things? I like the benches how they are.
It's not me changing things. It used to be you could keep things good enough and have a fine crowd. But these days, if you want to keep the wrong types out, you've got to pay a little more.
Yeah, that's about it.
Here's your drink.
Thanks, Glenn. I sat with my face in my glass and drank slowly. Glenn had a way of saying things that you'd expect more from a journalist or a politician or something. How he ended up tending bar is still beyond me. I sat in thoughtful silence until Glenn came up with the phone.
Harry, phone for you.
Who is it?
Police station. Officer Carton.
All right, I'll take it. Hello?
Harry, you need to go down to the hospital.
Well, in mid-drink, I tend not to like getting pulled away suddenly. But there was a hint of panic in Carton's voice that spoke to a real crisis. Why? What is it?
Can't discuss it now, but Travis is down and...
I'll be there in 10 minutes. Glenn, here's 3. Keep the change. I tossed down the money in the phone, grabbed my keys, and made a dash for my car. If things were as bad as they sounded, I had every intention of making that time.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Off the Leash, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Oh, I wish I had a larger, deep-rooted sense of self-respect. I can't even look into my own mirror without criticizing every little detail about me. Whatever am I going to do?
Lettuce. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little light mayo. Maybe some oil. You know what? I don't actually feel like a grinder right now. Let's get some Chinese food. General Tso's sounds pretty good. On a bed of lo mein. What's with the hand signals, Jerry? We're on? How many times has this scenario happened to you? You're not so keen on your self-image, be it outer or inner? You wake up each morning feeling not so confident? You feel as though all passers-by are staring at you in a manner that suggests given any sort of social situation they would like to physically harm you with any sort of blunt object they could find?
That's not exactly what I meant.
Well, now you can, thanks to the latest book by esteemed psychologist Dr. Raul Jimenez, entitled Your Life is Horrible. Dr. Jimenez, would you care to explain?
Certainly, Mr. Announcer Man. My book works off of a simple 3-step process. 1, admit that your life is horrible. 2, well, there's not really a 2. See, people like things in 3s, and I can't sell a 2-step book. People would think I'm crazy. So step 2 is just 37 pages of a farming equipment catalog.
Truly revolutionary.
And step 3 is buy my next book, How to Be a Better You, which, of course, is worth 3 times as much as my current book. You gotta reel him in somehow, you know what I mean?
Oh, you. And just listen to some of these glowing testimonials.
I was journeying to my local bookstore to pick up a copy of Troilus and Chrysity when someone literally threw this book at me. He hit me right in the eye. Rather than press charges, I took it as a sign to purchase and read it. It wasn't very good.
I heard about this wonderful book for weeks before I finally decided to go out and buy it. It was, quite literally, the worst purchase of my entire life. I mean, what's up with the farm equipment section? Who would want to read that?
I found the section on rototillers to be extremely helpful.
You see what I mean? This stuff is delicious.
Yes. It's like an explosion of culture in your mouth. Pass me more lo mein.
Sure, here you... That's Your Life is Horrible by Dr. Raul Jimenez. Available where books are sold.
You have dropped the lo mein on my pants.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
It was a 12-minute drive that I made in 7. On the way into the parking lot, 4 squad cars passed by me, leaving another 3 still parked. I made the way to the front desk and tried to figure out what room Spinelli was in.
Are you a relative?
Yeah, I'm his cousin. Harry Spinelli.
Oh, right down the hall, room 49.
Thanks. I hurried down the hall to his room, but a nurse stopped me at the door. Apparently, I couldn't go in because the doctor was busy with him.
You can't go in. The doctor is busy with him.
I stood outside next to a tall strawberry blonde who looked vaguely familiar. She was waiting, too, with a nervous look in her eyes and her cheeks flushed with tears. Here, need a kerchief?
Thank you, sir. You're very kind.
She dabbed at her eyes lightly, barely smudging her makeup. She was the type of dame that knew how to clean up without making a mess of things. They've all had their fair share of tears, but 10 to 1 they've caused more than that. You don't look like an officer. Are you family?
No. I'm his wife.
His wife? It dawned on me that I knew where I'd seen those strawberry curls. I was finally meeting face to face with Travis Spinelli's ex-wife after seeing her face in a dozen pictures at his apartment. She'd left him soon after I met him to go chasing some other man. I remembered she had an ironic sort of name, so I took a shot at it. Oh, Travis has mentioned you. His ex-wife. Chastity, isn't it?
No. It's Grace. Grace Astor.
That the new man's name?
No. My maiden name.
Didn't figure you'd still have it.
And just who the hell are you?
Harry Flynn, Private Eye, and Travis's drinking buddy. You might have known if you hadn't left him in the lurch.
Well, I'm here now, aren't I?
Yeah, when he's possibly kicking the bucket. You must be some kind of saint sweeping in and scooping up the broken pieces. How much do they pay ex-wives of ex-cops? Is it the new man looking for money, or do you just need a new set of furs?
How dare you? The man I loved...
Yeah, past tense there.
You are an awful, horrid man.
Flynn, get in here.
The door opened and Murdoch called out. He looked damn tired, with deep lines under his eyes and a drawn look. I made my way past the lovely but loveless Grace Astor and into the room. Seeing Spinelli inside made me realize why Murdoch looked tired. I'd seen Spinelli bad before, but this time... His head was wrapped in layers of gauze, his nose was broken and reset, and both of his eyes were black. The rest of his face was bruised and covered with scrapes that were filled with asphalt. He looked like hell worked over.
Harry?
Travis, you... Well, you've looked better.
I'd hope so. Thank you for coming down, Harry. I'm not thrilled that we're turning to you, but...
Is there something going on here? I mean, besides the obvious?
There's been... Oh, God. Painkillers!
Doctor, this man needs more painkillers. I'll explain. There's been a breakout at the jail. That's how Travis here was beaten up.
A breakout? How big?
We're still trying to figure that out. We've been trying to put down a riot at the jail. Then the whole force was out trying to catch them one at a time.
And how is Spinelli hurt?
I was leaving the prison when...
Are those painkillers coming?
A man came behind me and worked me over with a golf club. He got the jump on me and didn't go easy.
It wasn't his fault. A passerby saw the whole thing. We'd have found the guy if we didn't have the prison break to deal with.
How are you feeling?
Been better.
The doctor says he'll be fine with lots of bed rest. It was touch and go before.
Speaking of rest...
Yeah, I'm sure you need it. Hey, feel better soon.
Call in if you need anything, Travis. Your sacrifice for the city's not going unnoticed.
We left Spinelli to rest, though a certain dangerous vixen slipped in after we slipped out. I gave her a glare for all I was worth until Murdoch interrupted me.
You doing anything, Flynn?
Had a couple of plans. Why?
Well, policy says that no squad car can go out without 2 officers. There's no way in hell I'm sitting this out. Congratulations, you've just been deputized.
Hold on. I don't get involved in this kind of thing. There's a reason I'm a PI, not a cop.
That reason will have to wait. I don't like it any more than you do. Come on.
He set out of the hospital with a dangerous clip in his walk. The DA looked like a man ready to do some harm. I couldn't blame him for it, but it made me nervous. On the way to the squad car, I paused because I noticed something strange. A tall, gangly man with gray hair was leaning against my car. When he saw me looking his way, he stood up abruptly and waved. Hey, Murdoch, I gotta check on something quick.
All right, let's make it fast. Those perps won't turn themselves in.
As we approached the car, the man there gave a face-splitting grin.
Harry Flynn, you must have gotten my letters.
You the one sending all those postcards?
Yes, but those don't matter. I knew I could find a way to get you to meet with me.
What the hell did you do?
Well, I clubbed that officer, broke into the jail, and let... Ah!
All of the anger, frustration, and rage pent up in Murdoch suddenly let fly. He grabbed the man by the shirt collar and slammed a right hook into his mouth. He spat blood, coughing and sputtering as Murdoch hit him again and again. The DA's fists hit the stomach, face, and ribs until his target had to lean against the car, with one arm up to protect himself.
Stop! Don't hit me!
He didn't stop. The man's head hit the window with a sickening thud and he went limp. Murdoch kicked him in the ribs. The whole thing had taken less than 5 seconds. I was so shocked by it that I couldn't stop him until now. Even with the man down and out, I had to hold Murdoch back.
Get your hands off me, Flynn. You heard what he said.
You can't do it like this, Murdoch. Damn it, get a hold of yourself. He was heaving from the effort of the beating he'd laid down. I opened the back door of my car and lifted the unconscious man to drop him inside. He was badly beat up and bleeding from his nose and mouth. Get in the damn car! Murdoch got into the passenger seat and I started driving. He was breathing hard from rage or effort and his eyes were set dead ahead. Unflinchingly, he watched the road. You okay?
Not now.
I'd thought before that he was many things. An idealist, a cause chaser, and far worse. But with him sitting there, panting hard and glaring down the front windshield, I almost thought I had him figured out. He looked tired, worn down from pushing back at a city that had finally dragged him down to its level. His knuckles were raw and red. His shirt, starched white and ever so neat, was flecked with blood. He looked like a murderer. He looked like a goddamn hero. Open the glove box.
Why?
Do it. I keep a spare shirt in there. Put it on. You can toss yours on the floor. Wipe your hands on it first. Wordlessly, Murdoch started to do as I said. He got himself cleaned up and removed the evidence that he'd assaulted our passenger. There'd still be some explaining to do, but maybe it would be a little easier.
Why are you doing this?
Because you're on the right side of it. Now shut up and let me think. I drove us to the police station and dragged the now half-conscious man from the back of my car. He looked like hell and there was no covering that. Murdoch, in his clean if wrinkled shirt, waved down a couple of officers.
McMillan, this man has confessed to releasing the inmates. Cuff him and bring him in for questioning.
Sir, what happened to him?
Well, I...
He must have gotten caught in the rush out of the jail. Serves him right, you ask me.
All right, come with me.
She cuffed him and brought him in as Murdoch and I stood by my car. We stood, sizing each other up until he spoke first.
You don't like me.
I don't.
Why?
Because you think you're better than me.
That's fair. Why help me, then?
Like I said, you're on the right side.
That's never happened before.
And it won't happen again.
Yeah, yeah.
I grabbed his lapels and held him hard. For a moment, I'd worried he'd take a swing. I'm good in a fight, but Murdoch probably had some training on me. Damned right it won't happen again. You know why? Because I'll be watching you like a hawk.
Sure. Lecture me on morality. How many people have you sent to the morgue instead of prison? I've seen how you operate. Sloppy and loose. Just like all the PIs in this damn town.
This city's filled with gangsters, murderers, and thugs from the bottom of its sewers all the way up the political chain. A third of your cops are crooked and half are so involved they can't be called cops. But you were supposed to come in here and clean things up. I heard you on the radio talking about it for months. And now you'll do that. Because if I learn you're just another thug, I'm gunning for you. I'll bring this out in the open and I'll take you down one way or another.
I don't have time for this.
And I don't have time to wager on bad bets. I'm putting down a lot that you're working for justice, not vengeance. Don't prove me wrong. I let go of his shirt and we stayed glaring at each other for a long moment. Then he broke the silence.
I owe you.
That's true.
I need you to come in and make a report or we can't hold him.
I nodded and followed him in. The place was in chaos. More officers were present than I even knew were on the force, all of them moving quickly and fulfilling their duties as quickly as possible. The secretary was happy to provide me with a good dozen pages of forms to fill. I sat down and started going through, taking care not to mention Murdoch's burst of exuberant policing. As I finished the seventh page and swore never to lift a pen again, Murdoch and Brulé came into the room.
Look, we need him to talk or we're not going to get this thing solved.
He's probably just a crazy that wants to be in a mystery. You said he's a fan of Flynn?
Sure, he is crazy, but I think he let the inmates out.
I'm not allowing some Seamus to go in because some of our officers are having trouble with their jobs.
Please, Chief, if you let him in, I'll...
What? You'll what? Say, I've got an idea. I put my neck out here for you, so if I do this, you'll have to do one for me.
I'm trying to bring about justice.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to run a police force. No reason we can't do both. Hey, what do you say?
The greaseball Brulé had him in a corner. How he was chosen for the police chief was beyond me, but he was as crooked as they come.
Done.
All right, good doing business with you. Hey, Flynn, there's a guy I won't talk to anyone but you. Come talk to him.
Always glad to do my civic duty. Lead the way. They took me to an interrogation room where the still very ruffled-looking man was handcuffed to the table before him. Brulé walked in with me and I sat down. The man's eyes were wide and impressed as he spoke excitedly.
I just knew this would be a way to meet you.
Do you understand what you've done?
I didn't decide to do this. You could have met with me. If you don't like what happened, you could have stopped it easily.
You think you can blame me for this?
I asked very nicely. And now I get to be in a Harry Flynn mystery. Are you going to try to solve it?
All right. Who are you? What do you do?
Name's Joel Ross. I'm a landscape designer. Does that help you figure out why I did this?
I know why you did this. You're insane. That's not what I'm trying to figure out.
No, not at all. If I were insane, I wouldn't know what I was doing. I know exactly what I'm doing. I got myself an interview, didn't I?
Come on, Flynn. Get to the point or get out.
All right. Joel, tell me what you did today at the prison.
I went to prison with my golf club and knocked down a guard. Then I snuck inside and got your attention by opening up a cell.
A cell? You let out half the damn jail.
No, I only opened one. But it's very important which one it was.
Which one was it, Joel? Answer me.
Well, I thought it would be great to open a cell that has an important person from your career. Then I found one that had both your first case and one of your very greatest cases.
Stop playing games. You're talking about Henri, the man who killed my brother. Who was the other one?
Why, Giovanni Colazione, of course.
My heart sank. The most dangerous, connected, cruel gangster to have ever been locked up also happened to blame me very specifically for his incarceration. That could be because I put him away. Now with the city in chaos, he was out again and he knew my name. He'd find my office and my apartment. Nobody I know would be safe. Giovanni Colazione was out, and he was about to make my life a living hell.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Off the Leash, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta, Lucas Tomasacci, and Mark Zurich. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah, Grace, Bar Girl, and Depressed Woman. Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn and Dr. Jimenez. Jennifer Momanzada as Marla, Teller, Nurse, Officer McMillan, and Enthusiastic Woman. Drake Nestor as Commercial Announcer, Murdoch, and Bar Guy. Lucas Tomasacci as Spinelli, Joel, Announcer, and Farmer. Mark Zurich as Brule, Glenn, and Loser. And special guest Father Tom Carton as Officer Carton. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Well, that makes one of you.
You forgot to mention the Wikipedia page and the Facebook. Should look 'em up.